Mr. Levy climbed the steps and read the Peace at Any Price sign tacked to one of the porch posts and the Peace to Men of Goodwill sign tacked to the front of the house. This was the place, all right. Inside, a telephone was ringing.
"They're not home!"
a woman screamed from behind a shutter next door.
"The telephone's been ringing all morning!"
The front shutters of the adjoining house opened, and a harried-looking woman came out on the porch and rested her red elbows on her porch rail.
"Do you know where Mr. Riley is?"
Mr. Levy asked her.
"All I know is he's all over this morning's paper. Where he ought to be is in an asylum. My nerves is shot to hell. When I move next door to them people, I was signing my death warrant."
"Does he live here alone? The woman answered the phone once when I called."
"That must have been his mama. Her nerves are shot, too. She must have went to get him out the hospital or wherever they got him."
"Do you know Mr. Riley well?"
"Ever since he was a kid. His mama was sure proud of him. All the sisters at school loved him. He was so precious. Look how he ended up, laying in a gutter. Well, they better start thinking about moving off my block. I can't take it no more. They'll really be arguing now."
"Let me ask you something. You know Mr. Riley well. Do you think he's irresponsible or maybe even dangerous?"
"What do you want with him?"
Miss Annie's bleary eyes narrowed.
"He's in some other kind of trouble?"
"I'm Gus Levy. He used to work for me."
"Yeah? You don't say. That crazy Ignatius was sure proud of that job he had at that place. I used to hear him telling his mama how he was really making good. Yeah, he made good. A few weeks and he was fired. Well, if he worked for you, you really know him good."
Had that poor Riley kook really been proud of Levy Pants? He had always said that he was. That was one good sign of his insanity.
"Tell me, hasn't he been in trouble with the police? Doesn't he have some kind of police record?"
"His mama had a policeman coming around her, a regular undercover agent, but not that Ignatius. For one thing, his mama likes her little nip. I don't see her drunk much lately, but for a while there, she was really going good. One day I look out in the backyard, and she had herself all tangled up in a wet sheet hanging off the line. Mister, it's already took 10 years off my life living next to them people. Noise, banjos and trumpets and screaming and hollering and the TV. Them Rileys ought to go move out in the country somewheres on a farm. Every day I gotta take 6-7 aspirin."
Miss Annie reached inside the neckline of her house dress to find some strap that had slipped from her shoulder.
"Let me tell you something. I gotta be fair. That Ignatius was okay until that big dog of his died. He had this big dog used to bark right under my window. That's when my nerves first started to go. Then the dog dies. Well, I think, now maybe I'll get me some peace and quiet. But no. Ignatius has got the dog laid out in his mama's front parlor with some flowers stuck in its paw. That's when him and his mama first started all that fighting. To tell you the truth, I think that's when she started drinking. So Ignatius goes over to the priest and asks him to come say something over the dog. Ignatius was planning on some kind of funeral, you know? The priest says no, of course, and I think that's when Ignatius left the church. So big Ignatius puts on his own funeral. A big fat high school boy ought to know better. You see that cross?